This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Baskin and Phelps, those hens were clucking yesterday. I thought it might be a foregone conclusion. I'm wondering if I was trying to subconsciously speak it into existence. And maybe that you were guilty as well, and Zach Jackson and Jason Lloyd, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of folks might have been guilty of thinking that Deshaun Watson is never going to play for the Cleveland Browns again.
The other thing that always catches my ear is the conviction I hear from people saying that they think Deshaun Watson will never take another snap for the Browns. The conviction that he's done here. He's never playing here again. And I hear that and I'm like,
do you have that?
No, I don't. I'm nowhere near that.
I don't have that either. Because
I look at the big picture on this stuff, that it's not just, you know, folks, he's done. He'll never, ever, ever take another snap here. I've heard that on the air.
They're not making the decisions.
Right. But it's not only callers. I've heard media people say it too. And I'm like, wow, that's not thinking from the real world.
Let's lay it out, though. The folks who are saying it are thinking that there is going to be a better alternative here.
Well, that paints a bleak picture. That's Baskin and Phelps. I got that in the email yesterday that they put out the email blast, which is a great, great thing. That's why you need to sign up at 923thefan.com and the free Odyssey app. And that's not just a shameless self-promotion. Because I saw that and I went, beg your pardon? And I listened to that segment. I went, all right, let me think through this here.
Well, what does that mean that there's not an alternative?
I think there's an alternative. I think that a lot of things could be, quote unquote, a better alternative. But again, I got to take away the glasses.
Almost any quarterback in the league would be a better alternative than him, at least statistically, right? And obviously, in helping us run a functional NFL offense, a modern-day NFL offense, right?
Yeah. I would think so.
So how could you come up with
I didn't come up with that.
Maybe I misunderstood.
They came up
with it. Maybe I misunderstood what Jeff was saying at the end, but to me, anybody would be a better alternative than what Watson was doing.
I thought he was a broken quarterback. I thought he was broken spiritually, physically. I mean, he's had two serious injuries in the last 2 years, so you go ahead and spell it out. I mean, he's had three serious injuries in the history of his career, and it hasn't been that long.
And just the beating that he's taken,
yeah.
Just all the sacks. I mean, he was the most sacked quarterback.
But yesterday when Jameis won Offensive Player of the Week, we're going to talk more about Jameis coming up at 7:20. I said, boy, either Ken Dorsey's a genius or, and there were some people getting in going, Ken Dorsey calling plays is what we wanted for Deshaun Watson. Before I go, okay, so we're just going to continue to move the goalposts here on this guy instead of actually seeing what the truth is. And I go, well, what if the Browns continue to move that goalpost? I don't know how this season's going to end. He can go out there. I mean, Jameis Winston is a wild card. He can go out there and throw three picks on Sunday and end up, they get boat raced, and that's the end of the day. But, man, if they have any sort of modicum of decency throughout the rest of this season, I don't know how much more evidence that people need. And I was the one on Monday going, hey, I'm not ready just yet. I'm going to need more evidence. But if we get to any decency when it comes to offense and winning, what more can I say? I've exhausted every single possible thing I could. He needs wide receivers. You went out and traded for him. Oh, he needs an offensive line. They came back. Well, he needs an offensive play caller. They went on, they got him. They changed their play caller for him. Like, they did all these things for him. And we need to get Nick Chubb back. And Nick Chubb came back. He still looked listless before he got hurt. Like, there's so many different things. Like, what else do I need?
I gotta tell you, man, just...
Like, the contract on it's fine. I can't just play him because you signed him to a risky, irresponsible deal. I can't just do that.
I guess maybe the question just is... He's got to be on the roster, though, right? Unless the NFL intervened, unless Deshaun Watson decided to give up football. None of us see that happening, right?
I mean, no.
He's going to rehab and no, he's going to want to play.
Oh, I'll tell you this. Let me say this. Like, you guys are haters. I'll tell you right now, the Browns signed him to that contract. You got to do whatever you can to try to earn that money. So if that means being on the roster and they're not going to play you, fine. Like, if he needs to turn into George Costanza at play now, go right on ahead. Like, they signed you to the deal. It's their mistake. It's not yours. You go collect your money. I mean, listen, he's put himself through hell here. I think that he thought that things would change. They didn't change. It's been difficult. I think a lot of fans openly dislike him, obviously. Like, there's a lot of things they're like, no, you go get your money now. I won't fault him for that. Like, somebody brought up over at the TV station, like, hey, what if he just gives a lot of the money back and we call that? I go, are you nuts?
Why would he do that?
Are you nuts?
What does he get out of that?
I think J.C. Treader would go up to him and actually try to fist fight him if he did something like that. You can't do that. Like, no. And here I am advocating for him to go out and get his money, and I don't want him to start for the Cleveland Browns anymore. I'll be open and honest about it. I think he's a broken quarterback in so many ways. Like, I think it's time for everybody to just move on, but he's entitled to his money that they signed him to guaranteed.
I wonder just when stuff starts to go south in any walk of life, in any business, there starts to be a divorce that happens kind of behind the scenes. Like, the Browns, I wonder if all of a sudden, is the support going to be there? Like, the support they have offered him from moment one, helping him get whatever he needed in the community, like whatever roadblocks there might have been, like the Browns have gone above and beyond. I wonder if that stuff starts to erode. Like, I wonder if Jimmy all of a sudden, maybe not answering Deshaun's phone calls, if there were ever phone calls, or if there ever need to be.
You got
to
answer that.
Like,
you got
to
do that.
Like, that's the stuff I wonder just the stuff, you know, in the same way that like a college team, like they can't take away your scholarship, but they make life they certainly change the way that they
we can be
act around you.
Yeah, but I don't like that term. Sorry, I think we could be professional about this and understand. Like, hey, it's been 3 years. You've been injured seriously 2 out of the 3 years.
Like,
they carted you off. You were crying. Like, this is clearly something that's going on. And I'm not making fun of him for crying. I'm saying that this is clearly something that is emotional here, that has not gone your way. We all need to...
Yeah, will they take him off the marketing? Will he cease to exist on any of the marketing?
If they go out and they draft a new quarterback, yeah.
Well, just if he's going to be on the roster next year, will you see, like, we're looking at the... you certainly didn't see him on any of the schedules. Like, we have him right here in the...
Miles up on the schedule.
Yeah, Miles is on there.
Like, he's got the giant poster outside of the stadium, though, right on the side.
Yeah, is that taken down?
He's the starting quarterback of the football team. I would imagine he would.
But is that gone this offseason?
We're talking about next year.
Who's the starting quarterback of the football team? Because I'll tell you what, if they put him out there and say that he's the starting quarterback of the football team, I will see tumbleweeds roll through here before I find anybody who's excited about that.
Even
the most ardent supporter.
There are still, and I'm amazed, if you are still out there pounding the pavement, talking about Deshaun and saying, well, imagine Deshaun offensive line.
No.
Imagine him with Ken Dorsey calling the plays.
I'm not giving that credence.
But there still are some, and I'm wondering, what would it take for those people to finally jump off?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, there's if I got five people shouting on the sidewalk as I'm walking down the street, I try not to pay attention to them. I just move on. If you have 100,000 people shouting out there on the sidewalk.
But those five people have a reason. What is the reason anybody is still defending this?
There is no reason. There is no reason for it. That's why I have to ignore it. Like, I know that what we do, and this is the biggest mistake that we make as radio show hosts, is that, yeah, we tend to take something that's a straw man and we amplify it to get some sort of enraged opinion out. I told you the other day, like, I still have people, oh, I don't know about this cat. Okay, we're not going to have any fun at all during the Cavs season. We're just going to sit there and fart at them because it's a regular season. Like, I'm not going to do any of that. But I just have a few of those friends who do it. I don't think it's the vast majority of Cavs fans out there. So I really don't want to give it a whole light of day. Well, okay, we have open phone lines all the time. If somebody wants to call in and say it, I guess I will give them the time of day. But I don't think I'm going to make that a big prevailing thought. I only bring these things up if I think that they are big prevailing thoughts. Yeah, there's always going to be a gaggle of people out there that because they've made arguments in the past and no one wants to admit that they're wrong, that they will continue to argue for him until kingdom come. I can't believe those people. I can't turn it into a fight for them. I have to look at what's real here. He doesn't seem to like it here. He's not physically able to do it anymore at this level. I don't know if he can process it anymore at this level. It's a broken system. It's a broken situation. We have to move on as a franchise. The contract says you can't. But realism says, yeah, you got to do what you can to move on here as soon as you can. Like, I know I mentioned Brown's prison. I have to do the time. I can't let the time do me. Bringing him out and saying, oh, yeah, he's our starter week one next year, and trying to get people excited, that's me giving up hope and sitting in solitary confinement. That's what that is. You have to try to move on to a better situation. I think everybody in that building, including him, can see that clearly. I think he'd like to have a better situation somewhere. If they came to him now and said, hey, we have a trade for you now, you think he wouldn't take that? He'd be out of here on the first thing smoking. Halloween is today. Fanta just texted me a video of Danny from The Shining. Danny is in here, Mrs. Torrance. I'm like, geez Louise, Fanta. 7:20 in the morning. He's slowly getting just as crazy as we are. Fanta.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like it on the internet videos that I see.
Yeah, there is a descent into madness that I got to tell you, John, like, I see the twinkle in your eye. Once you lose it, there's no going back. I remember when I lost my twinkle in my eye, and that was it. Once you lose it, young man, that'll be it for you. So you better be careful, because once you go to this level, there's no going back, John. John Fanta, wonderful friend of ours, listening over in New York, covering the college. He's like doing a tour of college basketball over there. And obviously, it's getting to him because he's already celebrating Halloween, which I watched Halloween again a couple of days ago, real quick. I know we got Fix My Life coming up at 7:45. Watch Halloween again. A couple things I noticed. One, I do think that Dr. Loomis should have let the sheriff alert the townspeople. Two, I noticed this and then somebody tweeted it at me. When's the last time you saw Halloween?
Oh, it's been years.
When's the last time you saw Halloween?
1977.
Okay, it wasn't even out in 77. Mitch, when's the last time you saw Halloween?
I've never seen it in its entirety.
Okay. So there's a part in Halloween where Michael turns behind the sheriff and Dr. Loomis after there's a break-in at the hardware store where it took some knives and took some rope, some kids for Halloween. Oh, it's Michael. And he goes to turn. He checks. Like, he looks both ways like three times to make sure it's clear. Like, he's a safe driver, Michael is. They don't know he's driving. And you can see him clearly in the background looking left and looking right. It's actually kind of funny when he turns. You got to see it to think it's funny. I know I just described it, and you want to leave me out here to die right now, but it's actually quite funny when you take a look at it. We're moving on.
Next time I see it, I'll pay attention.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for leaving me out there to die.
What was I supposed to say?
All right, never mind. Sometimes you hate it when a joke don't kill. It's just funny when he looks both ways. That's all I'm trying to say. Someone fill the silence, please. Mary Kay Cabot comes up at 8 o'clock, fine. But you know what? Back to Deshaun Watson. That's it. We'll talk about, would you rather talk about parts in scary movies that you haven't really seen, or would you rather talk about Deshaun Watson?
It's been a scary movie with Deshaun.
So Baskin and Phelps were talking yesterday, and they had said that they hear us, they hear the callers. Like, we had several people, we've had several guests on, and they're like over the last week and a half, and they're like, no, that's it. That's it. I can't see him playing another down. Jason was like, no, you can't do this. This experiment is over. And I've kind of subscribed to it. And then I wonder, okay, is it wishful thinking? Well, I think it's probably wishful thinking because what you've seen on the field has been terrible. And you kind of want to move on from this experience because it can't be a coincidence. And Jameis Winston was offensive player of the week. Again, the Browns are the only team that needs a bad quarterback to do any of this.
It couldn't have gone worse for Deshaun that, I mean, if he was watching that game, even if he's supporting his teammates, I'm not saying he wouldn't be doing that. But the fact that Jameis gets player of the week the first week, they beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
And is an all-out vertical aerial assault that just wasn't happening before. That couldn't have gone worse for Deshaun.
Jerry Jeudy threw his helmet a couple of weeks ago at the bench. And now he's had how many catches the other day?
You had Elijah Moore's dad tweeting about his targets.
Cedric Tillman. I just assumed he was a water heater, that they were an old water heater they were rolling down the driveway. Like, no, he had 7 catches for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns on Sunday. 334 through the air. Another guy throws for 300 yards that's not named Deshaun Watson. What else am I supposed to deduce from this? Like, it leads to Jameis, and we'll get to the question about Jameis. Like, did he prove everybody wrong? Did he prove that they were either telling us fibs or little lines that they had to tell us to try to advocate to make sure that gamble was paid off with the quarterback that they used to have? Or did he just prove them wrong that Deshaun Watson was, quote, the best chance they had to win? Because Jameis goes out there and throws for 334 and beats the Ravens, who were on a 5-game winning streak, and he looked good doing it. Are we just going to say that they had a bad pass defense? Is that what we're going to do?
But we went
okay,
in.
Okay, we can try.
Did we not go into the Washington game thinking, hey, we're going to be able to move the football like crazy against this secondary?
And he is a we did. And I think that you go
and
back
then
to.
They didn't.
You go back to Jameis. We thought they would and they didn't. But you go back to Jameis, like, yeah, Jameis is a wild card. He's a backup. He's been a backup for 6 years, like, or 5 years. Like, there's a backup there that still has arm talent, that still is really good. I got a guy who I don't think he can be a backup, really. You might have to force him to be a backup now because I think you have to move on, but I don't know if you can move on for the deal. But that's where I'm at right now. Like, I owe it to my fan base to not tear this thing down to the studs, because if I tear it down to the studs, okay, well, then I'm paying him still because it's a guaranteed deal, and I'm just letting go of all the veterans that they've come to know and love. And then I'm getting ready for a draft, and we're doing the same conversation we did before the Ravens game. Like, now there's a glimmer of light. It's small, it's flickering, but there is a glimmer of light that at 2-6, hey, you know what? The teams that you thought were going to be really good ain't that great. The Jets are on their ass. The Bengals, they're gasping for breath in their own right. This guy's come in. He's ran an offense that's been a professional offense. They're getting guys involved. They look a hell of a lot better than they did. Maybe we weren't as far behind the eight ball as we thought we were. And maybe the Chargers come to town on Sunday and they blow that light right out. Okay, we'll see where it goes.
But at the very least, they just made
this. But I'm
going
to talk about a possible future of greatness while I can.
Do you think how much more important it's been
over here? After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Or just how interesting Sunday is now than it would have been. Now we have actual storylines, and with the trade deadline looming, you know, next Tuesday, it actually creates a game that you kind of got to watch now.
Yes.
A lot of people were telling me they were done. Is if Deshaun Watson was their quarterback right now, they would be looking to do anything else. They were looking to get their tee times ready to go at a golf course. Like, that's what I was hearing from people. There were people that were bragging about either giving away tickets or not renewing their season tickets next year.
So explain, is this just a contract that's an albatross that I'm refusing to see, or you're refusing to see? Because I laid out a plan where I'm like, hey, after that injury, that's it. Like, you're talking about quarterbacks, and they're going to draft one, even though you might not like it, to try to excite the fan base for this franchise. But maybe I'm not seeing it. Maybe there is still another excuse. Like, I don't want to make a cattle call, though, to crazy opinion that I don't think a lot of people share anymore, Anthony. Like, I hear Baskin say it. I'm like, yeah, the money is a big deal. I respect Jeff and Andy's opinions. But look at it in real time. Like, what did we just say? Like, yeah, you put Art Modell in the Hall of Fame and see how that whole scenario goes when you actually have to go through the process of enshrining him into the Hall of Fame and see where the fans stand on that. Okay, go. I know you owe Deshaun Watson $100 and umpteen million. Go through the process of actually starting him again after what happened over the first month and a half of the season. That is a totally different story. We saw what happened in real life. We bickered with each other.
There would be
we
a revolt.
Shamed each other. We're going to try to sign up for all that again?
There would be a revolt. I think people would start talking about organizing outside of the stadium, walking out of the stadium. Like, fans would not put up with that.
And honestly, like, you can say whatever you want. They don't want to see bad football. They don't want to see bad football. They have no faith that he will be able to play good, even passable football offensively for this team anymore. 216-474-0092. Matt in New York, listening on the free Odyssey app. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Guys, I'm with you on getting rid of Deshaun. I'm with you on feeling re-energized. Like, you know, I'm like Michael in The Godfather. Like, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me right back in. They got Jameis. He slings it. He's fun. But how do we unload Deshaun? Like, what are the – I don't know sports contracts. What are our options from you hold your on, eyes?
You either keep Jameis Winston, which is not – obscenely doable, because if he does so well, he might price himself out of you.
We can't afford him.
Or two, you're going to have to take a quarterback that people are just going to be distracted by in the first round of the draft. I know you don't like that, but that's the truth.
No, it sounds like there may not be that guy in this draft.
All right. Also, do you want to? How about this?
There will be guys drafted in the first round.
Yeah,
that's just the way it works.
There will be overdrafted guys in the first round too, Matt. I got two more ideas for you. I'll give you someone else's idea. I'll give you one more and another person's idea. Would anybody like a free agent Justin Fields, Matt?
Not
over the way Jameis played, but say Jameis plays well enough where it puts you later in the draft and you can't afford Jameis anymore because of the contract you already have for the quarterback, all right? So say Jameis plays his way out of Cleveland because he does so well. Best case scenario, right? We're all wanting to win and we're all wanting to do well. Well, you win, he's going to have to play well. So say he plays himself out. So tell me about this. Justin Fields, yay or nay?
Sure. If it gets us away from Deshaun back on the field, sure.
Sure is a acceptable answer for a lot of people. Matt, I'll take that, because there's another idea somebody else has come up with, and thank you very much for the call, Matt. I don't really want to give it just yet. I kind of want to beat everybody to the punch when I'm going, man, it's still October 31st. We have a long regular season still left to go before I bring up this idea. You want me to do it now?
I saw people mention Anthony Richardson yesterday.
Well, all right, fine. You know what? I'll say this, and then we'll move right along. You know, I talked to Nick over at 8, right? He loves Michael Penix. He goes, you need a quarterback. What would you give up for Michael Penix if you find yourself at the back end of the non-playoff teams in the first round? Say you play yourself close enough where you get a wild card. If you're number 10 overall, would you trade number 10 for Michael Penix Jr. in this draft? Still on a rookie deal. Still on a five-year rookie deal, by the way.
Wow.
That's what he asked. Don't answer it. Don't answer it. I don't want to entertain it yet.
He's going to be 25 next year.
I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to cover it up with soil, and we'll water it and see if anything grows. That's all I'm going to do. It was his idea, and at first I balked at the idea, and now, I mean, if we're going to continue to move back in the first round and you're looking at, hey, you're going to draft 14th overall. All right, well, you're not going to be able to get Shador, and you're not going to be able to get Cam, and you're not going to be able to probably get Garrett Nussmeier, and there's probably another guy you're not going to be able to get. Maybe that's an idea. Just throwing that out there. Dave in Macedonia, you're next up on the Fan.
Morning, boys. I'm so glad we agree on everything you're focused on. I know your guest at 8 o'clock. She seems to defend him to the ends of the earth.
Well, hey, she's not here to talk. She can't defend herself right now, Dave, so let's get off that subject right now, okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Going on what I hear, I'm allowed to listen to,
That's true, but if you start taking any shots...
I'm allowed to have an opinion of your own, Dave.
Okay, go ahead, Dave. What do you got?
Definitely. Any option has to be an option. I mean, both the Fields and Penix thing, you know, they're options. I mean, I just didn't like the way, you know, people say that, these are writers. I'll make it plural so we don't individualize.
Thank you.
These are writers that are saying, don't get too excited about Jameis. You know, everybody acts like when they write that they're the only ones that know anything about football. It's not true. We all know what Jameis is. And we all know he has a talent, but we all know, you know, what he's infamous for as far as on the field. maybe some turnovers and this and that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of guys find themselves after a little while. I'm not saying, you know, you're right about that's probably the worst thing that could happen is if he has a great year, outprices himself because we can't afford him because we have you-know-whose contract. I'm not sure. Is there a medical thing for Watson where we can chop? I thought I read that somewhere. Where
there's insurance, it's very convoluted. I mean, there's hip
he
involved
is going
and things
to be,
like that. Dave.
He is going to be healthy next year, though. It's not like this injury. I mean, look at how quickly Aaron Rodgers was practicing, like 8 weeks after the surgery last year. Like that's right. The hard part about this. It's not like this is actually. I mean, Nick Chubb's injury was supposed to be way more difficult to heal up from than what mm-hmm. doctors are doing these days with the Achilles.
Right. Yeah. Here's the other thing that just, you know, Anthony said it just moments ago. If he's back on the field, there's going to be a revolt. You know it.
Well, I don't want to encourage it. And Dave, I understand where you stand. And thank you very much for the call, by the way. I don't want to encourage such things, but I don't think I'm going to have to say anything or do anything that is going to do. I think that, yeah, people are going to be very upset. If he goes out there, I don't think he wants to be out there for this football team anymore. I think he looks at this as, man, he'd like to be playing for a lot of different teams right now. I think that moment there was a culmination of all this, the criticism, the struggling, the whatever they're trying to do with their offense, the looking for the way he was back in the day and it not being there, the layoff of time, everything. I think that was a culmination of all of it. And I don't know. I would imagine he doesn't even want to be here anymore.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML,
my life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Now, I know there are some communities where trick-or-treating has come and gone. But today... For many other communities.
Shame, I feel bad.
It's the granddaddy of them all.
Oh, this is the day. This is the day.
It
the
is Halloween.
Weather is going to be sensational. The shower is going to hold off. We should be good. Warm weather. It's going to be amazing. I got the candy all ready to go. I think I'm going to go out and get even more, even though my wife's like, no, we're good. And I'm like, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? Any of the stuff we're not going to give away, we're going to have more. And I'm going to eat it all. And it's going to be terrific. But Owen
gives you a bellyache, though.
It does. But I'm willing. I'm willing to make certain sacrifices because now I got kids involved and I get to live this life all over again vicariously through them. But Owen had a different thought on this altogether.
I'm sounded revolting.
Like sounded like Ken that you're or sounded like Owen. You're over it. You're over it once and for all.
I'm revolting against my city. We've lived in the house now. This will be our fifth Halloween in this house.
Mm.
We're in a great neighborhood. I live five doors away from the elementary school that my kids all went to.
That's nice.
I just don't get the traffic that I want to warrant what I've been doing, which was I decided when we bought this nice big house, we were going to be a full-size candy bar house. And I said, haven't had enough traffic. I don't want to do it anymore. And my wife got pretty pissed at me, who does not pass out candy with me. I stay home and pass out candy.
What does she do?
She's always trailed our youngest, who's in fifth grade now, so he's going to kind of do a little more on his own, I think, this year.
Yeah, you do always have to figure out who's playing the home game, who's playing the away game, who's the one helping with the kids. But you're saying you're kind of upset because over the years, you feel like your neighborhood is not where the place to be.
The problem is my neighborhood is. There's a main drag in Avon Lake in the middle of town called Redwood. If you live there, if you've been there, you know the street. I live five houses off of it on a side street. So I can see all the fun happening down there. And they are not coming to me. I've got a bonfire out there. And part of the problem is I think a couple houses between me and that street are blacked out. They are not accepting visitors. I know my neighbor, she'll go out and sit with a table full of stuff. And I believe she's pretty disappointed every year, too. So this year I don't want to do it, but I know my wife has went and we didn't buy full size bars. She went and bought a bag of candy. Or bags of candy. I know they're hidden from our children right now.
Do you have to hide them?
Do I go through? I've got six kids.
I'm impressed at their age there could even be a hiding spot at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Because all I did for years was find out where the porn, the weapons. I mean, every time.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I knew where everything was.
Yeah, because you were, I mean, your sister, well, it's true. Your sister's 10 years older than you, so you're basically an only child like me. Like, you got six kids. I imagine it's an FBI raid every single day.
I have, this is a different FML, but a couple of weeks ago, we were down to three spoons in the drawer, and I told everyone, I said, if those spoons aren't down here in 24 hours, I'm flipping your rooms. It was going to be. We were going to throw everything.
Warren Norton was coming in.
And the FBI never cleans up. They never clean up. No. They just leave it disheveled.
No. That's a different FML, come on. Though. But no, so my options are, do I stay strong to what I said I was going to do and not participate in the candy passing out? My other option is, we do know the neighbor at the end of the street. In fact, one of my children will be going with their children to go trick-or-treating. And do I just walk down to their yard and sit there and pass out my candy with them? And I'm sure we'll have a few adult beverages.
I feel like you're not going to want to miss out. I think despite the fact
I'm disappointed. I feel I've loved doing it so much.
Well, I think part of it is it's how the free market works on Halloween. Like, the kids know where to go. And the fact that you've got too many blackout situations, you've got too many neighbors that aren't, you know, enjoying or getting in on the fun for whatever reason, it's killing it for everybody. And it's like, this needs to be a year-long effort. If you want to rejuvenate this, you've got to start talking to the neighbors.
Yeah, they got to get involved.
Find out why they're not into it.
I'm a little bit surprised, though. I mean, it seems Halloween is the only time that anybody likes anybody coming into their house for anything whatsoever.
Well, ours is when there's a tornado that comes through. That's where we go talk to the neighbors finally.
Oh, well, I mean, that seems to be more and more of an occurrence this year.
We do have, like, three new households of toddlers on the street that weren't there last year. They've all moved in this year. So that was why my wife was like, no, we got to go get candy. We can't be the house that doesn't do it, just like the other ones that are on the street.
It's depressing when you see houses with nothing. And if you've got like three of them back to back to back, it's like, oh, you don't want to go over there.
Right. No.
That was a kid. That was really depressing. I understand there's some religions that they don't get down with Halloween. Like, I understand that. But at the same time, like, it doesn't have to be about the giving away a candy. We're not celebrating, you know, witchcraft. We're just trying to enjoy something for the kids to have a reason to go out and be a part of the community.
I want every driveway to have a cauldron and everything. No, I agree. I wish we could have. I feel left out. I hate this. I hate this Saturday, and then honestly, it's because the scary house took down the decorations. The mine are still up, and now I have to think about taking mine down and then putting up the Christmas decorations and the whole thing. No, just how about you stay out and give out the candy for one more year, Owen? Just do it for one more year.
Can I do this?
And then do it next year in the year after.
When everybody leaves the house, can I just dump that candy and say, yeah, I passed it out?
What else? I know you're a busy man.
But you know the truth.
I know you're busy, man.
Yeah, I don't care about the truth.
All you're doing is sitting in a chair.
Every day.
All you're doing is sitting in a chair.
That's not true. I have to stoke the fire, Ken.
Oh, stoking a fire is such a big deal. Yeah, just stoke the fire and sit in a chair and hand out
the
candy.
It's fun. It's also fun. Deal. It's good people watching. It's good to talk to strangers.
Just got a text from my wife.
A good time.
It's a good time.
That includes the F word, and I am passing out that damn candy.
Yeah. Pass out the candy. She's right. I agree with your wife.
Fine.
Yes. Thank you. Don't be a stick in the mud, man.
Guess I'm passing out candy.
I told you, man. When we go years past, it's been the baton death march, having to go walk the trick or treat in the neighborhood. I look forward to the passing out of candy someday. But at the same time, I imagine I'll be sad. That's the whole point of getting older. All this is bittersweet. Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin, the whole deal.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.